Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Can't believe it's 1 week away from Thanksgiving already. Okay, standing by to kick off the show is Peter Himmelman, and he's written this book called Suspended by No String, A Songwriter's Reflections on Faith, Aliveness, and Wonder. And he was on my show earlier on in the year. We didn't have enough time, and let me tell you a little bit about him in case you missed him. He is a Grammy and Emmy-nominated singer-songwriter, visual artist, best-selling author, film composer, entrepreneur, and rock and roll performer. He's got a great collection of music if you're not familiar with him. All his information is on my show blog, which is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. I'm going to bring him on now. And one of the things we didn't get a chance to touch on was the fact that we're in a mental health crisis. And I love what Peter has done throughout his lifetime with music. And I felt it was so inspiring. I wanted to have him back on. Here he is now. Hi, Peter.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for coming back on again.
My pleasure.
I told you I'd have you on.
Well, very few are so honest as to make a claim and then have it meet out in reality.
It's a rare
thing these days. Much appreciated.
Well, I don't like that. You know, I've had that happen. We talked about this. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't flake. Or just come up and say, hey, I really can't. So happy to have you back on. Tell the listeners a little bit about your book.
I have just written a book or finished the book. It came out in mid-August of this year. It's called Suspended by No String, A Songwriter's Reflections on Faith, Aliveness, and Wonder. And as I've been talking about it with a lot of people, I sort of came to a conclusion about what is it actually about. And because it's a collection of things, it's not a linear story by any means. It's really a series of reflections and anecdotes and vignettes that get to this issue of trying to see that we don't really know that much, that our certitude, that our insistence on our knowledge leads us to a clear idea of what reality is. And I'm trying to say in the book, no, we don't know much. We have names for things, but, for example, water, everyone knows that's H2O,
right.
And one part hydrogen, two parts oxygen, and then as adults we move on, and we embrace this whatever it is, the scientific thing that very few people understand, and we move on, but a child doesn't move on. A child is fascinated by water, and my question is, who's right, the child or the person who moves on with this sort of scientific idea of what water is, that's very, puts water into a little category, and now we can move on to some other thing that we deem to know.
Mm-hmm.
So the book in some ways is, as I write everything, I'm a songwriter generally, everything that I write is really for myself. It's to open myself up to new ideas. The book does not claim that I'm a master of anything, that I know things. These are just ideas that come to my mind, and I've found that they've come to other people's minds as well.
Thank you for that. It seems that you are very self-aware, and that you're searching for meaning, and you have gratitude. You talk about the love for your wife and your kids, but you still search for meaning. Is that true?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I wouldn't characterize myself as a person that's like in some sort of mood of gratitude all the time. In some sense, I'm not proficient at anything that I'm writing about. I don't mean that in a demeaning way, but as you mentioned, a searcher, let's say that your words are searching for meaning. You're always grappling. You're always trying to move. So there isn't a static place where I found gratitude and I'm that guy now.
Right.
All yes. of us are struggling with things because life is quite difficult. The tension between whatever we consider our spirits or some animating property of our bodies and then the physical world. There seems to me to be a bit of a tension between those things.
But not everyone is in tune to searching for meaning. Do you think that can be an issue because people are focusing on the wrong things?
Well, I mean, to give everyone a pass, people such as myself who've made a career out of, say, writing and writing songs and things of that nature, the obligation falls on us, and we create those spaces and time for these kinds of reflections. And part of my work I've come to see, I'm going to be 65 on Saturday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So as I advance in years, these things that I did as a kid were just mostly like, you know, played in a rock band, and I still do, by the way. It was a lot about self-aggrandizement. Mm-hmm. But as I've spoken to a lot of people that have gotten older, they see the value in the work they've done turn from themselves to the outside world to kind of helping other people.
Yes.
So what has happened, some of the responses of the book I've gotten, which is the greatest response you can get, is like, I've been thinking about these things, but I didn't have the ability to articulate them. And thank you, you know, Peter, for doing that work.
Mm-hmm. Well, for instance, Steve Letter, he was on my show.
Mm.
He wrote a beautiful endorsement on the back of your book.
Yeah.
Suspended by No String is a collection of essays, personal narrative, and poetical reflections for readers of all spiritual stripes, those who are devout, those who aren't sure what to believe, and those who may not be religious in a traditional sense, but who nevertheless want to build a relationship with a force in infinitely beyond themselves. Yeah, that's beautiful. What was the process for writing this book? I can't remember what we talked about previously, but did you start this a while ago? Was this a collection of short pieces that you put together in the pandemic, post-pandemic?
Well, some of the pieces are older. A few of them are from like 2008. Mm-hmm. And they all went through a really vast reworking process. So I'd written a book in 2017. It came out on a Penguin imprint. And it was about how people take their nascent ideas and make them real. The book was called Let Me Out, Unlock Your Creative Mind and Bring Your Ideas to Life. So that had very clear principles, almost like full of case studies and certain anecdotes as well. And I thought that I would just make a sequel to that book. I'll never make a sequel to any book I ever write, by the way, because it was so troublesome trying to repeat something. I worked for years on that sequel. And then I ran into this wonderful editor. Her name is Barbara Clark. And I you know, spoke to her on the phone, and she said, look, you know, I see what issue you're having with this manuscript, which I thought was just about finished. She said, send it to me, and I'll give you my thoughts. And she'd read the book Let Me Out, and she read the new manuscript. And then she said, midway through her 15-page letter to me about what she'd read, I think this book, she said, is about spirituality rather than creativity. And that was such a liberating idea for me, because that was at the heart of what I was trying to say, mm-hmm. and probably always trying to say. And I worked for another 2 years in sort of a self-help format with this new-fangled book. And it still didn't feel right, you know. I know when things are finished, when they just don't bother me anymore. They just, like, yeah. there's nothing I hate. And I sent Barbara, because I felt there was something wasn't right about this one either. And I sent her this piece. It became the title of my new book. It was called Suspended by No String. Mm-hmm. It's about a 1,500-word short essay. And I said, couldn't we just shoehorn this into the book somehow? Because it doesn't feel right as it is. And she took a number of days to get back to me. And she said, look, first of all, what I've read is one of the more beautiful things I've read in years. And secondly, and I hesitate to say this, she wrote, if you have more like this, I think you should, I don't remember what you said exactly, the essence of it was, throw away what you've been working on and start anew.
Yes.
And rather than that being dismaying to me, although it would be a lot of work, it was a second level of, like, creative liberation.
Yeah, I can see that.
A book about spirituality can't be put into a self-help book. that was really it.
Yeah. I'd like to add to that. You have a chapter, and I want to mention your sections are very brief, which I love. But it's called Window Cleaner, Note to Self. I'm going to read it. Change is the perfect window cleaner. It scours the filth from your perceptions of the world. It helps you see what you've always known, but somehow always forget. The change isn't a string of problems to be solved or a list of burdens to be borne. Change cries out, roars, and sings. Change has the power to take you back to your beginning, to take you back to when life was a spiral of ever-evolving beauty. And when you rediscover that misplaced part of yourself, you begin to see beauty in all its forms, in sadness, in joy, in loss, in discovery, in uncertainty, in hope, in love, in fear, in triumph, in failure, in falling down and in rising up. If you want to keep your windows clean, keep asking yourself these questions. Who do you love? Who do you trust? Who do you need? Who can you heal? What gives you joy? What brings you hope? What conveys meaning? What are your aspirations? What can you give? What do you consider sacred? What would you give your life for? I love that.
You're a good reader. I like hearing it back. No, I'm using the you voice mm-hmm. in that. There are a number of pieces that are interspersed in these different categories of the parts of the book where they're called notes to self. So the you voice isn't me talking to you, although, of course, you can accept it like that, and that's probably how I would like it. But they're legitimately notes to myself. They're questions to myself. They are instructions for myself. And I woke up, I'm sure, one morning and sort of wrote that and thought about those things. And mm-hmm. I think about them a lot.
Well, there's a lot of note to self in here. They're very insightful. That's what I love about it as well. So I want to dive into one of the reasons I want to have you back on. And let's talk about the mental health crisis, which for those who know me, I talk about how it's multi-layered, very deep-rooted. And so how do you feel about what you've written and how it can help people who are struggling with their mental health?
Well, that's a great question. I know the mental health crisis is, you know, leaping in ways that it never had. Mm-hmm. There's a friend of mine in New York that needed a therapist, and I have a friend who's excellent. I said, could you help this guy? He said, I can't. I'm so sorry. I have absolutely no more space.
Yeah.
He's so full. I think one of the things to think about, and this, again, I think about it myself, so it's not like I'm sitting here completely mentally healthy, just ask my wife. But there's so many different ways to view one's life. There's so many certain angles and heights and altitudes and depths from which you can see your life. Right now, most people that I know are getting their view from their iPhone.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you've heard this for years. You know, it's such old news. But it's more important now than ever to find the off switch on your iPhone. Mm-hmm. Not the silence piece, but the actual off switch. And it's some people have never, maybe most people have never turned off their phone. They make it very difficult for you to do that. It's not that hard, but it's definitely not very easy.
Yes.
And, you know, find out how to turn off your phone. And this is very practical advice. We can get into some more abstract ideas if you like, but shut off your phone in ritualistic and regular ways for certain periods of time every day. Shut it off so that you can take a look at something that isn't fear-based. The whole idea is with iPhones and analytics and certainly with TikTok and Instagram in many cases is to purvey a sense of fear. And fear is the most attractive thing to a person, not a desirable attraction, but a magnetic attraction. Because if you think there's fear, you want to stay alert to it. You're walking through a grassy field. Many times you will just look for the snake. The grass you will ignore. I'm suggesting that the grass and the flowers in the field is what you want to spend more time concentrating on for short periods of the day. You don't have to transform your entire life. Mm-hmm. You just have to make these little, I guess what you call them, little holes in the fear-based pieces of your day so that you can weaken fear's hold over you.
Yes. Thank you for that. I frequently tell people, the people that create all the apps and everything, they don't care. They create things with no conscience, and there's so much havoc going on with cell phones. And for anybody listening who has a younger sibling, or if a parent's listening, hold off giving your kid a phone for a long time, because you have no idea what's going on, what they can get into, and who will be preying on them, pretty much.
Oh my God, I have a friend who called me once. His daughter was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. She's much older now. And he called me. He was literally in tears.
Of course.
And he said, my daughter has just seen the most horrible, you know, sexual thing mm-hmm. that her friend's older brother showed her. He goes, what should I do? I mean, he was like, you raise a child in a, you know, you want to protect that child. And those protections are now so permeable.
Yeah.
So it's a real crisis. I mean, the phone itself is like a knife. A knife, what's a knife? It's a neutral thing. It can cut somebody a sandwich and, you know, prepare a dinner, or it mm-hmm. can kill someone.
Yeah.
The phone can transmit, I'm talking on my phone now, you can call your mother and tell her you love her. It's a great thing. Or you can have, God forbid, your daughter seeing what my friend's daughter saw at 9 years old. It needs to be thought about in a very careful way. Nobody runs around the house with a sharp knife. We're very careful with the knives.
Yeah.
We need to be just as careful with these phones.
And Peter, you know what's, and thank you, that's so spot on. You know what's so interesting? How many people are really, young people are using their phones to make calls? You buy the most expensive device, you pay monthly fees, and they're texting and they're on apps and they're being reeled in by all these companies. And as a parent, you don't know. And that's contributing. That's one factor that is, you know, contributing to the mental health crisis, and it's not going away anytime soon.
I think that it's, I mean, look, I don't know. Nothing I say is data-driven. I'm not a social scientist by any means. I'm just a songwriter. But I think that we don't really conceive of how much the intrusion of these pieces of information and disinformation, which had never existed in the history of the world, are, you know, causal in this mental health crisis. And it's not going away.
Right. We could talk about that for hours.
we could.
Is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with? And then please tell them where they can find you and your book.
Yeah, well, my book is called Suspended by No String. My name is Peter Himmelman. You can find it on Amazon. A lot of local bookshops are carrying it. I did hear that Amazon is responsible for selling 97% of all books.
Wow.
Which is an interesting thing to note. My website is peterhimmelman.com. And I also have a business called Big News. That's also bignews.com, where I teach creativity, and that's in quotes, to different corporations. I've worked with Boeing. I've worked with 3M. I've worked at the Army War College. I worked at, you know, Wharton School of Business. And I teach sort of a different way of looking at the world, not so dissimilar, in a sense, with the things that I've written in this book.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you so much for calling in again. I feel like we touched on several topics we didn't the first time, so I really appreciate that. And for the listeners, you can learn more about Peter on my show blog and listen to this as a podcast within an hour after I wrap, and that's getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Peter, thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, like I said, this will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. And his book, again, is called Suspended by No String, A Songwriter's Reflections on Faith, Aliveness, and Wonder. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you that UCI Basic Needs Center has announced Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week, recognized annually across the country to bring awareness to critical issues surrounding hunger and homelessness. And they had an event yesterday, but I want to share some information with you. There are resources right here on campus, the Fresh and Mobile Pantry Services. Currently enrolled UCI students can access the pantry services once a week where food items and toiletries are provided. The Fresh Pantry is located at the center right on campus, the Basic Needs Center. And the Mobile Pantry operates on the first Friday of each month at his designated location. I put up links and everything, all the information about this. There's information about CalFresh application assistance, emergency meal swipes, short-term grocery card support, basic needs, sponsored housing, campus social worker consultations. Again, that is on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. You are listening to KUCI 88.9. FM in Irvine. We'll take a little break and then we'll be back. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can visit KUCI.org and our socials, KUCI FM.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about the show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.